It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Monday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk, and the 4 o'clock hour is always fun. We have Sue's News coming up here in a couple of minutes. Mr. Cusimano later in the hour, and sandwich in between, United States Senator Eric Schmidt will be here, fresh off his trip with President Trump to Butler, Pennsylvania. We'll have a conversation with him. Fred, I kind of wimped out on something, and I've been talking about this show that took place last night, Break Room Concerts, Martin Sexton doing the Abbey Road album. Yeah. And I had such a busy weekend. I went out Friday night and saw a show at the Pageant. We had, with John, who puts the show on last night, a little soiree on Saturday night. And then, I haven't even told John this. He's probably mad because I didn't show up last night. I really wanted to be there for Martin, and you were there. But I ended up having a volleyball game with Alexa that was essentially about 5 minutes away from Forest Hills Country Club. So in the afternoon yesterday, I go to the volleyball game. Then I'm coming all the way back to my house, and I just was thinking about round trips to Chesterfield, where I wasn't getting frequent flyer miles. And that might sound like a terrible excuse, but I did a lot of stuff around the house, which I don't normally do. You know, getting carpeting, getting ready to pull that out from Michael's flooring outlet. So I wimped. But you went last night, right?
I did. Sue, is this a sign of aging on Mark's
behalf? I think it is a sign of aging.
It might be. Yeah. No, I'm saying no. But that's only to defend all of us.
But here's the thing with there is something to that, because I'm not hardly ever 3 nights in a row my book to go do
that's
something.
That's a lot.
That doesn't happen.
We were surprised by an event that was coming up this weekend that you didn't realize.
Well, there is that.
Yes.
Yeah, I did kind of screw that up. But it was a good show,
anyway,
wasn't it?
Anyway, it was a great show. Martin Sexton was there. He performed the entire Abbey Road Beatles album.
Oh, wow.
And I was amazed. There were a couple songs there that I don't even remember, including a really cool, like, 54-second song at the very end of the album called Her Majesty.
Oh, yeah.
That Paul McCartney recorded before any of the other Beatles got there for the recording session, and thought he didn't like it that much, so it was edited out and left on the floor. But Martin said that, you know, the Beatles producers,
the spirit of it was there.
They said, you never throw anything away by the Beatles. So they stick it on at the end of the album, and it's really cool. But one of the highlights, besides the music, was the fact that Mark Gelman from the Gelman team was there, and he and John Lynch, put together this fundraising effort for Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Gelman matched it, right?
Right. So they raised $5,000. He matched it with another $5,000. So they presented a check to Susan G. Komen Foundation for $10,000. So that was
awesome.
Really nice.
Well, I'm not going to miss, you know, the one in December that's coming up is the Liz Longley and Barnaby Wright. It's the Everly Brothers tribute. They were supposed to do that over
that
the
one.
Summer. It's breakroomconcerts.com. I just got kind of old and tired. And I will say this, you know, I went and saw this band on Friday night, Coin, and they're a relatively big alternative music band. Like, most people would never have heard of them, but they've had hits in the alternative music world. But and Ethan Hannaford, our new producer, is in here. Maybe he can kind of respond to this as well. When I go to the shows at the Pageant or Del Mar Hall or maybe even the Factory, I would say, especially for alternative bands, I don't know what I'm going to get with a demographic. Like, I'm thinking to myself, who knows this band? Will it be older people? Because in fairness, with a lot of alternative acts, there's plenty of people in the age group of, I'd say, like 40 to 60.
Oh, I'm sure.
That are into those bands, right? So this band's been around, Coin, for about 10 years. I knew when they were going on, you know, not until like 9:10, 9:15. So there was no reason for me to get there early. So I went home Friday night. I show up at about 5 minutes before 9, and it is packed. Now, it's one of those shows where they don't have the upstairs sold, right? It's just GA. But I might have been the oldest damn person in the freaking room the other night, except for a couple of fathers that were there because it was an all-ages show. But I was blown away and totally unexpected that the majority of the people were probably under the age of 28 years old.
Interesting.
And I didn't anticipate that because the band's been around for 10 years, so I don't know where the kids are discovering the music. Sometimes it's a TikTok thing. Sometimes a song gets in a show or something like that.
Right.
But that was one that did catch me off guard because the demographic was not exactly what I expected. By the way, great show. This was a band. I always like going into a concert. And if you leave when the band has exceeded your expectations, that's exactly what happened with this band on Friday night.
Nice.
So that was a lot of fun.
Do you like when it's a younger demographic, or does it not really matter to you?
The younger people are a little bit more annoying at concerts, I would say. The worst thing about it is what I did is I walked into the G area that's on the floor, and it was packed, and I just kind of leaned up against the back, right? So I positioned myself.
Like a cool man. Yeah.
Right behind two guys that were like 6'3".
The first
20 minutes of the show, I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I'm scouting out locations.
Yeah.
And then they both moved.
Oh.
And it was like the rest of the show was glorious because it was really starting to get on my nerves.
Yeah.
Like, I'd move my head one way. He'd move his head the other way and match it up.
That's how it goes in the old GA.
But great show.
I wanted to bring up, I went to see the rodeo on Saturday night.
Yes, do tell.
It was the Grizzlies Rodeo at the Grizzly Stadium over in Sauget. Very fun. Lots of people. Very patriotic. And it was a really good
time.
Did
you ride a
bull? See any Trump
signs? Did you get
on
a bull?
I did not get on a bull. I did not see any Trump signs.
Wow.
But,
two surprises.
One of my favorite parts was the rodeo cowboy. The rodeo clown. The rodeo clown.
Okay.
Was.
I've only been to one rodeo my entire life. It was in Boone County. But that was the only time I ever went to one, many, many decades ago. All right, let's do this here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Fred's a man about town, you understand.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
He's at concerts, he's out at rodeos.
I was at Beeville Mill on Friday for a wedding.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful location to have a wedding. It was beautiful.
So you had plans three nights in a row.
Yes.
You're older than me.
Yes,
you had no problems doing
correct.
It, did you?
That's what he said. That
right.
doesn't
How,
stop.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I just feel terrible now.
On this day in history, I loved him. In 1984, sweetness, Walter Payton ran for 154 yards to break Jim Brown's all-time rushing record of 12,312 yards. Now, you can watch this whole thing on YouTube. I could have pulled the bite for it, but it sounded ancient. And it also didn't really give me exactly what I wanted. But they showed the video. And part of what Walter did in that game was just, you know how he used to, right at the goal line, just leap like a gazelle over everybody and just roll into the end zone and score. And that was part of it. It's just fun to watch
him. He was
amazing.
Look, I grew up, my first 14 years in Chicago, was not a Bears fan when I was growing up. But man, Walter Payton was amazing. And then, he played an effort. He played a role in the effort to bring football to St. Louis. He was very involved in the mid-1990s. And I remember, this would have gone back to the late 80s because I quit drinking when I was 25 years old. And I remember, sometimes these things are foggy, but I swear to God, this is a true story. One of my two really big celebrity encounters when I'm taking a pee. Ray Liotta was the other one. That was at Miller Park in Milwaukee. This was Walter Payton in the restroom at 64 West, which was a hot club right next to the Checker Dome. A lot of the blues players would go there. And he was there one night, and I remember in a very drunken state saying, "What are you bringing football to St. Louis?" And he was super nice. He could have told me, "Hey, you idiot, you're drunk kid, stop it." But I loved Walter Payton.
But he was nice.
Yeah, he was very nice.
He's awesome. And 39 years ago today, in 1985, Lynette Woodard became the first female to play for the Harlem Globetrotters. I watched some old video of her today. It was really cute. She was good. I just had forgotten that that was a thing. All right, they had a celebration of life ceremony for Richard Simmons over the weekend in New Orleans. He passed away July 13th. His brother, Lenny, was speaking at the service, and they said that they actually buried him in his classic workout gear. Quote, just like Clark Kent underneath his beautiful things that he was wearing, his clothing, Richard is wearing a tank top and shorts.
Why do you ask?
I mean, not only is it just what it should be. He said, because we think that God has another plan for him. We want to make sure he's going in his normal costume that we all know and love to help the saints and the angels get in shape. He will be ever, forever sweating with the holies. Huh? You
oh
see that?
Gosh, that's
okay.
Hilarious.
That's it. It's just so cute that I had to throw it
but
in.
But you really can't envision him in any other.
No!
Like, try just, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, to try to think of Richard Simmons in like a suit.
I can't. No, nothing comes.
You're right.
Okay, this is nuts. Okay, this has some sound with it eventually. I'll just ask it for it. But here's what happened. There's a small twin-engine plane flying from Vegas to Monterey, California on Friday. It's just a pilot and one passenger. Well, the pilot passed out. So the only passenger on board had no choice but to land the plane herself. Here is air traffic control talking her down into a safe landing.
Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so make sure you add a little bit of power. You got to add power. We're going a little too slow. Make sure you add power. Your altitude is looking good, 5,900 feet. Try to stay level at 6. You're in a right-hand turn. Continue that right-hand turn. We're going to set you up so that as you level off from your turn, you're going to be straight in for Bakersfield Airport. Is that all right?
Okay.
She actually did it.
Wow.
I mean, that guy was super nice. You could tell. I mean, he was excellent.
He didn't sound stressed
no,
at all.
No. That was great.
I mean, he would be like the best teacher ever. And he talked her down. She landed safely. She wasn't hurt. Neither was the pilot. But I'll tell you what, you read that story and I'm like, woo-hoo.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you imagine?
I think everyone, when you hear a story like that, you kind of ask yourself, could I do that
in a situation?
But your instincts, look, it's survival.
It
right?
is.
You
got to
do it or you're dead.
You're right. There's no choice. There was also a story out over the weekend that 73% of people sleep better in hotels. Fred, is that true of you?
Oh, yeah, true.
Ethan?
No, I would say not.
What about you, Mark?
No. Like, I hate sleeping in hotels. And, you know, it's funny. Last night, Becky stayed in Little Rock because she's on her way to Houston.
Yeah.
And she sent me a video. I should have Ethan pull. And all night long, now she slept, but she said that she was right next to a door that was kind of going to a stairwell. And it just kept creaking.
Uh-oh.
Like, it needed some WD-40. And she says, that's what I heard for the last 10 hours. Now, she did sleep through some of it.
Oh, my gosh.
No, hotels are awful for sleeping.
Well, this found that 73% of people say they sleep better in hotels because, and here are the reasons why. They say, if you want to make your own bedroom this way, what you do is upgrade your bedding, because even mid-tier hotels have high-end mattresses. The pillows, the sheets, the duvets are also high quality. A lot of hotels actually sell that stuff now, but apparently none of you needs it except Fred.
Can I revise my answer, though, based on this information?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna revise my answer, and I'm going to tell you one thing. That back in those days, and this goes back before 4 years ago, the pandemic, when I would go to Hollywood, they'd always, 90% of the time, I'd stay at the Beverly Hills Four Seasons.
Okay.
One of the nicest places on the planet. I slept so well because their pillows are just amazing.
See, that's it.
And you can buy that stuff there, to your point.
You can. That's exactly it.
Another reason might be because when I'm in a hotel, I've just spent the day out and about doing 1,000 things.
Well, that's true. That's
true. So I'm pretty tired by the time I go to bed.
It also depends on if you have, like, you know, family with you or if there's other people. You know, if you got snores in there.
Oh,
if you got
absolutely.
Much better.
It also, look, when someone else is paying for it, I'm staying at the Beverly Hills Four Seasons. When I'm paying for it, I got that stupid, you know, heater that's rattling or air unit in there.
Oh, my gosh. And if you hit it the right way, maybe it'll stop for 5 minutes.
Right.
But they say what can help you at home is make your bedroom darker. Even if you, every light in a hotel room, they're pretty dark, even if you turn them on. But cool the room down. The ideal temperature for sleep is cooler than you think. It's around 65 degrees. I do love that.
Crowd challenge that one, but I do like that,
65 degrees, and then you can get under that big bedding and snuggle in. I like that. And keep your bedroom clean. Studies have shown that filth and clutter have a negative impact on your sleep.
Alexa, how's that working out for you over there with keeping a clean room?
Huh?
How's
what do
that?
You think?
Not good at all.
Not good at all.
Well, your sleep will be better if you clean up. Mm-hmm. And finally, in Sue's News, we do have today's random fact. I thought this was like what? Russian cosmonauts used to carry special pistols into space so they could shoot any bears and wolves that attacked them when they landed in Siberia.
I love that.
Yep. So you had to think ahead, Fred.
Wow. That's really good.
Pack a pistol that will take down a bear. And that's it for Sue's News.
Now, my daughter said earlier today, I want to do the random fact for Sue's News, but did you come up with one? No, she was going to kind of throw her own in there. Did you ever come up with one?
Do you have one?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for doing your job. Fail. Massive failure. But that wraps Sue's News for a Monday afternoon. Senator Schmidt, who not only was hanging with President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, but Elon Musk as well. I can't wait to hear about that. That's coming up.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Cusimano coming up here in just a bit. Josh Hammer, Newsweek senior editor at large, host of the Josh Hammer Show. You hear it every weekend here at 1 p.m. on Saturdays. He'll join me. Also, Ilya Shapiro in the next hour, plus an audio cut of the day. This guy has been traveling all over the country. He was in Butler in Pennsylvania for the rally for President Trump, the return rally from the assassination attempt. Senator Eric Schmidt is with us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm good. As much as I want to hear about, you know, President Trump and the rally and all that, I got to start with Elon because you're hanging with Elon Musk over the weekend. What was that like?
It was pretty cool. He was backstage and we got a chance to visit a little bit. And we were talking and of course, I had the Missouri versus Biden, the big anti-censorship and case. And I thanked him for, you know, what he's doing to protect free speech. And we talked about that for a while and sort of an agreement that this is unfortunately where the Democrats are. You heard Hillary Clinton just talk about this the other day, John Kerry talk about it. These aren't some bloggers in their basement. I mean, these are like major figures in the Democrat Party that are talking about controlling information and censorship. It's disturbing. So we had a great conversation about that. He's taller than I expected, actually. He's, I mean, I'm 6'6".
Yeah.
Well, not quite 6'6", but he's a tall guy, but pretty impressive guy. And he went up on that stage. As people saw, he was just so excited. It's not something that he typically does, but I think he feels, he knows how important this election is, and he said so on the stage.
Yeah, there's a, you posted on your Instagram him basically jumping in the air. Is that a real shot? Because then you kind of circled yourself with JD the crowd back there.
So JD Vance and I were like off stage there. That's where Elon was when he wasn't speaking. But somebody pointed it out to me, like, you're in the photo. And so it's him jumping up. You got Trump kind of looking back. It's got the American flag.
It's awesome.
I said something like, hang it aloof. Yeah,
it's awesome. So here's, this was great, too, how he started this, of course.
Thank you. A very big thank you to Pennsylvania. We love Pennsylvania. And as I was saying.
Yeah, as I was saying, a perfect way to start that. So what was that like? I mean, obviously, this changed the dynamic of an entire presidential race.
So the backstory to that is I was on the plane with President Trump and he was talking about the speech and he wanted to open it up in a special way. And obviously it was going to be a tribute to Corey, the firefighter who lost his life. But he talked about that. And so they're going through the speech and I don't know if it was part of the original version, but he's very committed to saying. And as I was saying, I thought it was a great line. And then, of course, he delivered it and looked at the chart. And I think it was like, hey, I'm back. Right. This could have been the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. Let's get on with it. And I thought it was a pretty cool moment. There were 100,000 people there. So we were on the plane, too, and we did a flyby. He does this at his rallies. He'll fly by. The crowd goes nuts. And all of us were looking out the window and he has a playlist. There is a playlist that's playing in the plane. And Guns N' Roses was on Sweet Child of Mine. I think on my Instagram, it actually captures this. But
really?
The music comes on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. and you can hear it if you turn. I guess I'm promoting my socials today on your show, but if you go to it, you can hear the music come on, and you saw the crowd and all the cars, and there were over 100,000 people there. Mark, it was just incredible. And Butler, Pennsylvania is not, you know, it's about an hour away from Pittsburgh, and we were in the motorcade. It's about an hour and a half from Pittsburgh, so you know it takes you know commitment to get there. But just the number of people that were there that wanted to be there for this return of what could have been a tragic place. And it was for Corey and a couple of folks who were shot, of course, and made sure that the tribute was given to them. But President Trump, the resilience, the energy to come back and say, we've got some unfinished business. It was a pretty cool event.
So do you know, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard her on my show. Maybe you know her personally. Do you know Selena Zito? Have you ever met her before? Because she's been, you know, she was on that stage when this all happened, and she was with him over the weekend as well with some access.
I don't think I've ever met her, but I'm a fan of her work because she, you know, in 2016 was the one that kind of captured what was going on in the country that President Trump certainly tapped into. So I think she's got a lot of credibility, no doubt.
Well, here's one of the things she said. You can react to this.
That's where I think the election will be decided. And in those
areas... Let me re-intro this. So she's talking about the rural areas in Pennsylvania, and she said...
That's where I think the election will be decided. And in those areas, and in my interviews there, it is a very much of a 2016 feel to it, as opposed to 2020, which I think may end up being the election that was a fluke.
Yeah, so Eric, to your point, she kind of feels like it's more like 2016. She wrote this book, The Great Revolt. She traveled the country that summer and saw a lot of the signs that some of us missed with the support that President Trump had. Now, you know, I it's not brilliant political analysis to say it's all going to come down to Pennsylvania, because at this point, everyone knows it's all going to come down to Pennsylvania, right?
That's exactly right. And I will tell you, even on our way there, 5-7 miles out, okay, there were people who weren't even at the rally who were lined up on the streets, okay, a couple people deep in some places. So there is something happening. And, you know, I've run statewide, you know, a few times in a state like Missouri and gotten around the country. And you do, and it's anecdotal, so you don't, you know, people kind of maybe sometimes roll their eyes. But I'm telling you, there's something going on. And all the fundamentals are there, too. So I think it's right. I think it comes down to Pennsylvania. I think Trump wins Pennsylvania. I think his margins in places like Butler and like in western Pennsylvania are going to be significant. And I think that carries the day. But if you look at the fundamentals of how he's doing among younger voters, he's winning with Hispanic voters, according to a Rasmussen poll that came out this weekend. People view it as a change election. And by a 2-to-1 margin, he is viewed as the change candidate. All of those things sort of feed into, I think, what you're seeing now. The polls are starting to reflect it. I think it's still going to be close, but in the battleground states, he's doing better, Mark, than he was certainly in 2020, but even in 2016 at this point in the election. And so it just feels like he's headed towards a win, but this is going to be a turnout election.
Right?
This is turnout. And so that point was made home, too, when Elon Musk was on stage talking about that as well.
So I don't know if you're going to pop some popcorn and watch this 60-minute special today, but they've leaked a couple of the clips from Kamala, and they're not too good. She actually gets asked a couple of questions that are relatively important and not, you know, softballs, and she does not do very well. So that's something that, you know, I think they're... They're damned if they do, damned if they don't. You got all these people calling for her to get out there more often. And when she gets out there more often, it is awkward. And we haven't really talked. How about J.D. Vance last week on that debate stage?
He did great.
Good Lord. He did amazing.
He did amazing. I talked to him afterwards. And then, of course, he was there, too, in Butler. So we got to spend a little bit of time talking about it, too. He nailed it. I was on your show early on saying it was a great pick. And here's why. First of all, he's a very relatable guy. We go to dinner a bunch, and I'm the boy from Bridgeton, right? We've talked a lot about that. I get a sense of people pretty quickly, and he's an authentic guy, and he's told that story. And I think he started that debate by saying, hey, I'm going to answer your question, and he did. But let me tell you a little bit about myself, because a lot of people don't know who I am or who Tim Walz is. That was smart. He was calm. He had a handle on policy. He showed empathy throughout. Like, you know, I didn't know your son witnessed that. That's,
yeah,
you know, Christ, that's terrible. You know, that's who he is. And so I think it came through. The challenge in these debates sometimes, and he and I were talking beforehand, is that's a good format for him because there's enough time for you to show who you are. A lot of times in these 30-second sound bites, or if you're on a show, you got a minute to respond, No, the course of an hour and a half, people get a sense of I think, of who you are. And I thought he did a great job, and I know everybody was thrilled with that. And, you know, how much do presidential debates matter? You could debate that point, but when people are trying to figure out who he was and Tim Walz, and they're still trying to figure out how Kamala Harris is, all these
yeah,
data
matters.
Points matter.
It matters, absolutely. Yeah, especially absolutely. With him when everyone's trying to define him as the, you know, the evil single cat lady guy, and you know,
and
he comes
honestly,
off very differently.
The irony of that, Mark, is, which was sort of just what was so terrible about it, was trying to label him as weird. Like, I know a lot, there are weird people in politics, but JD's not weird. Like, he's a normal guy. And I think that's maybe why. I think part of the effort that they had, I posted about this, is because they knew how well he was going to do. Part of the effort to discredit him ahead of time is, they know
sure.
he's a talented
politics,
guy, and
right.
they were trying to affect that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the guy who's a little weird was the guy on the other side of the stage, but that, I think, is somewhat apparent to a lot of people, certainly in this audience. I have to, obviously, I'd be remiss in my duties, and I've been spending a lot of time on it today talking about this anniversary, Eric, which, you know, here we go again, where we're seeing some of these pro-terrorist demonstrations in New York City and at these college campuses across the country.
Yeah, it's brought out the worst in many people and the worst instincts, and this growing pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party is not going away. It's a real challenge for them. You could argue it's why she didn't pick Josh Shapiro, who's from Pennsylvania, because of the concern that it might upset certain people in the Democrat Party. That's a terrible indictment of where they're at right now. And you also still have these sort of subtle comments. You had another senator, Chris Murphy, talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu is going to war to affect the election. I mean, it's so weird. Like, they're responding to this October 7th attack. They've taken on Hamas. They're taking on Hezbollah. Iran is now coming for them. It doesn't take too long for you to imagine, you know, if Iran actually has nuclear ballistic missiles, lobbing those into Israel, they have to treat this as seriously as they are. They have to be able to deal with it on their own timeline. And the United States should support their ability to go do that. We shouldn't be telling them, you know, they need to enact a ceasefire right now. They got to do what they got to do, just like we would want to do what we needed to do to protect our people.
You know, and I have to also mention, because this is almost embarrassing for me, I sit here a week after I was on the air talking about, because this is not unique either, but I knew that North Carolina was just going to be devastating. And here we are on the cusp of another hurricane in Florida that could be devastating. And we should be talking about the people in North Carolina right now.
Yeah, the people are suffering there, and that gets lost in all this. There are people whose entire lives have been wiped away, including some of their family members. I mean, some of the videos of the woman who lost her son, and, you know, all of those. That's a tragedy. And what's happening is that the federal government is failing basic competency tests because there's been such a focus, even in FEMA, talking about DEI. All of the money that's been diverted to, you know, migrant housing and all of these sorts of things, that is not the core mission of FEMA.
Eric, it's the first thing on their website. I thought this was a joke when I saw someone posted this, so I like to vet things. So I went to the website. They have three goals. Number one goal is instill equity as a foundation of emergency management. And then the second one is lead a whole of community and climate resilience. So you got to be kidding me. And we're surprised that they're not, you know, properly responding to, you know, devastating emergencies. Go figure.
Yeah. How about we just get the stuff to people who've been affected by natural disasters, regardless of their race, regardless of their religious affiliation, regardless of their gender? None of those things matter. You're supposed to be serving Americans. But again, they're sort of searching out, and it's this mission creep that is exposing the ineffectiveness, the inefficiencies, and quite frankly, the corruption that exists in a lot of these agencies. And one of the things I'm excited about, and President Trump gets back into office, is I think he'll be a disruptor and get back to a level set of what these agencies are supposed to do. Now, look, they're going to freak out, and they're going to call it all kinds of names and whatever ists, you know, they want to label. But this isn't working. This experiment that the left has, you know, imposed on the United States of America is not working for Americans. In the tone deafness, Mark, also of Kamala Harris and Blinken announcing it's happening, 180 million more for Lebanon is insane.
Well, this is what I said at the beginning. Look, I get that the government should be capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time, but the tone deafness of blasting that out on Twitter, not realizing what that seems like to the majority of American people. I was stunned by that, but, you know, good for them for achieving that. Unbelievable.
It's a bubble.
Yeah,
it's a bubble they live in.
Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy the football, the baseball tonight, the politics this week. We'll talk soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
See you. That's Senator Eric Schmidt.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, we still have a lot to go through in the next hour. Josh Hammer from Newsweek will be here. Also, Ilya Shapiro and an audio cut of the day. I still have not told Sue how I went a little mum crazy over the weekend. Not mom crazy,
how extreme.
But mum. I bought a bunch of mums. Maybe nine or ten.
That's really fun.
But now I don't know what to do with them, so I'm going to have to figure that out.
You plant them or put them in a planter? Anyone?
We're going to talk
about
that in the next hour. We're going to have a conversation. First, though, Frank Cusimano. I'm not sure if he can offer advice on mums or on how I can be less angry with the Mizzou Tigers, who just sucked, you know what, on Saturday. And Frank, I knew it was going to be like that. Maybe I didn't know it was going to be that bad, but how could we have thought and had better expectations based on the way that they played? I guess that's maybe the way I look at it.
Yeah, and I know you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. That first impression, though, I thought, wait a minute, they're coming out, they threw that nice deep ball, 27 yarder to Luther, and then you had that real high there. You thought it was going to be pass interference, and then they reverse it. Then after Texas A&M scores a touchdown, Mizzou comes right back with that long touchdown to Luther, and
penalty.
That's taken away because of the legal man downfield. It's just like, look, I know those three plays are not the difference in a 31-point blowout, but gosh, that beginning was just so titanic, and it just got worse. And I know everybody and their brother wants to blame Brady Cook for everything that happened in that game. But let me tell you something. That defense was horrendous.
They were terrible. Terrible.
233 yards on the ground, 5 touchdowns. You thought, well, after the first half, fire and brimstone speech, they're going to come out. No. First play, third quarter, 76 yards. That defense was the culprit. They were the worst.
Well, it's not as if another ranked team didn't go down over the weekend, and that would have made us look a little bit better because we beat Vanderbilt. That was a heck of a game. But what on the Mizzou front and where the college football playoff might be, you could probably still get into the playoff with one loss, but now you got no room for error moving forward.
Well, you can definitely get in because if you beat Alabama at Alabama and you're sitting there 11-1, you're definitely
sure.
In. And I still think, depending on what happens, there's an outside chance you could get in at 10-2. Their schedule's not difficult. It looks like right now, if they lose to Alabama, heck, their best win could end up being like Boston College. It depends what happens with Oklahoma. I don't like Auburn at all.
Well, I'll tell you what one to look forward to, and I've kind of noticed this from the first weekend, and I kind of called this one. I don't call them right all the time, but it did not shock me that Arkansas beat Tennessee over the weekend, Frank.
Well, you must know more about it. It did surprise me a little bit. So
home game, I've seen them play. They have a good quarterback. It didn't surprise. Look, the SEC games are tough, and we certainly saw that with Vanderbilt over the weekend. All right, let's talk a little baseball here. The Royals are in action today, aren't they?
They are. They against the Yankees tonight.
The Chiefs play tonight. Here's a story that I was unaware of. Fred put this down as a note, and I'm going to tell you exactly what my real-time reaction was. The note says the Reds hire Terry Francona as their new manager. My response was about 3 minutes ago is, every other team in baseball can hire a real manager except for the St. Louis Cardinals. That might be unfair. That might be unfair, but that was my reaction.
I'm sure a lot of people feel the way you do, but again, if you get back to that statistic about how many games they should have won with the runs they scored and the runs they allowed. They should have won 71 games. They won 83. I think there's a lot of things that went wrong for the Cardinals. I don't think Ali Marmol is the reason they're playoff list for the second straight year.
I don't know that I disagree with that. And, sometimes it just comes from anger. That's what I would say. How about the Chiefs tonight? They have a chance to, still stay undefeated, but the Saints are pretty good.
They are. And Dennis Allen knows a lot about the Chiefs from his time with the Raiders. And Derek Carr has been one of the real surprising stories in the NFL. He's played great. And Alvin Kamara has kind of like turned back the clock. You thought when you get to his age, he's done. But look, it's the Chiefs in prime time. I think they're going to go 5-0.
I have to give another special shout out, mainly because Sue keeps asking me on Monday. She always says, Mark, how did your fantasy football teams?
Uh-huh.
And, I don't like to share that on the air, but man, Jaden Daniels. Holy smokes, I'm so glad I drafted him like the fifth or sixth round. He's going to be my keeper in this league for next year. That kid. And look, Caleb had a great weekend as well.
Yeah, but you're right, though, Mark. Look, I'm telling you, if you were to, like, redraft right now in fantasy football, and we're not talking about rookie quarterbacks, it's taking any quarterback available in fantasy football, Jaden Daniels would be the first pick. Now, Lamar's really good, but I think Jaden Daniels has more arm talent. And, he, you know, the guy gets 70 and 80 yards a game on the ground. This is the best beginning of a career for an NFL quarterback in history. The statistics and the metrics back it up.
He is a lot of fun.
Yes, I have him also.
He's a lot of fun to watch, and that team is going to be good. They're pointing in the right direction. Thank you, Frank. Have a great week. We'll talk later.
All right, sounds good.
I almost said we'll talk on Friday, but I'm off on Friday.
Uh-huh.
So that means next Monday, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Hour number three is coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.